In today's gospel reading, Jesus declares that God has anointed him to proclaim the coming of God's kingdom. But not only that, he also claims to be the one sent by God to fulfill the promises of the kingdom of God. Coming back to his hometown of Nazareth, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom, and there, in front of his family and his friends and Sunday school teachers and others who helped raise him, he finds the passage in the book of Isaiah where the prophet proclaims the coming of the kingdom of God. Good news will come to the poor. Captives will be released. The blind will be healed. The oppressed will go free. It's time for God to act. Imagine someone's inauguration speech promising that every person in the country will be provided free health care. Every unemployed person will find a meaningful job. Every addict will be recovered from their addiction. Every broken or destroyed home will be rebuilt. All terror threats and war will end. Those are some grand promises that we might hope for. But how realistic are they? But this is what Jesus claims he will do. He sat down quietly after the scripture reading and made the outrageous claim, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled." At first, those who heard him were amazed by his words. They seemed proud that this prophet was one of them from their own hometown. But then if you read further on in the text, we find that the crowd turns against him. "Isn't this Joseph's son? Who does he think he is? Where is the proof that he will be able to pull this off?" Well, give the people of Nazareth credit for knowing that it's hard to believe all this, and even harder to accomplish it, given our human condition. We should remember that Jesus was not saying that the kingdom of God would come in a flash through awesome signs and miracles or by a political coup. Jesus puts a disclaimer on those things early in the chapter when he's being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He refuses to turn stones into bread or to jump off the temple to prove who he is. God usually doesn't work that way. It's often the hidden hand of God in the world and in our lives. He chose a couple of senior citizens way back in Genesis, Abraham and Sarah, whose offspring formed a people chosen and anointed by God to proclaim the coming of God's kingdom and to be a sign. They often failed, but God continued to work through imperfect men and women who were called and had faith that God's kingdom will not fail. Now here is Jesus, the son of the carpenter, Joseph. It would take a lot of faith to believe that he was the anointed one to not only proclaim the kingdom of God as many had done before, but that through his life and work, the kingdom of God would be fulfilled. What the world needed, of course, was a miracle, a divine intervention. But that, of course, is exactly what we got in Jesus Christ. God became flesh and lived among us. Jesus fulfilled the kingdom of God by reaching out to the poor, by healing the sick, by forgiving sinners, by his self-giving love, and by his willingness to sacrifice his life on the cross. His resurrection was an awesome miracle of God's intervention and power. He indeed fulfilled God's mission in his own life and work. But then what really changed? Since that time, centuries ago, we've seen way too many wars, way too much suffering, way too much evil, way too much sorrow to say that God's kingdom has been fulfilled. Yet by faith we hang on to Jesus' words. Maybe not today in the literal sense that the kingdom is fulfilled, but it's coming. It's not quite here yet, but you and I can believe it, and we can proclaim it, and we can live it. And it's possible for us to live in that future reality because Jesus didn't just leave us here to fend for ourselves and do it ourselves. He has given us that same Holy Spirit that empowered him. We have been anointed. The Spirit of the Lord has given us the faith and the gifts and the talents to proclaim the good news of God's kingdom. In my reading this past week, someone suggested that the kingdom of God is a little like Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, which some of you may know exist only in the mind of Garrison Keillor, who is a great storyteller. In his books and radio programs, Keillor begins his heartwarming and humorous stories about the residents of Lake Wobegon by saying, "It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown." And then he always ends his stories with the line, "That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average." Like in Lake Wobegon, we, the children of God, are gifted. We are above average in the sense that we are gifted by the Holy Spirit. And here I want to turn to the lesson we read together from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12. Verse 7 puts it this way: "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." To every child of God, to every person who calls Jesus Lord, the Holy Spirit has given some special ability or gift or talent to contribute to the common good and thus reveal the glory of God in the world. The world looks to us to see the kingdom of God. We are the presence of the kingdom in the world today. And when the church uses the many gifts of the Spirit that have been given to us, the members of the church, for the common good, the glory of Christ is seen by the world. When the church hoards these gifts or uses them only for self-preservation or personal glory, Christ remains hidden. When Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, he was very aware of the many spiritual gifts that the church and the people in the church had been given. The problem was that they were not using their gifts for the common good. There were conflicts and there were divisions. They used God's gifts for their own glory. They would say things like, "My gift is better than your gift," or, "We really don't need you." Today, that kind of jealousy isn't so much a problem because we are more inclined to ignore our spiritual gifts or hide them or not use them. Or we use our gifts only for the good of the church, but not so much for the good of those outside of the church. So on this Sunday, in this season of Epiphany, when we're thinking about letting our light shine in the world, I'd like to encourage each of you to do the good that God has equipped you to do. To use your gift or your gifts. Everyone is good at something. You have to decide what that is. Now, one way to get at this is simply to ask, what are you good at? What do you enjoy? Or if you want to involve a little bit of your emotional life, what are you passionate about? What turns you on? Now, St. Paul probably didn't trust human emotions that much, so he used the analogy of the human body. We're members of the body of Christ, he says. So what part of the body are you? Are you a hand or a foot, an ear or an eye, or even one of the internal organs? Every part of the body is important, and we must work together if the body of Christ, the church, is to function properly. Today I'm going to send you home with some homework. As you leave the sanctuary today, there will be copies of this spiritual gifts inventory available to you. Now, if you don't want to do this, that's okay, but it might be helpful for us to take a look at whether or not we are using those gifts that God has given us. On the first page of the inventory, there's an introduction and a list of the various spiritual gifts. Perhaps you already know what your spiritual gift or gifts are, but you might just discover something new about yourself. And the first page lists some of those spiritual gifts, and it's followed by a series of 60 questions which ask you how you would respond in certain situations. And then the last page explains how you can score the survey. Now, if you have trouble doing the scoring or you have questions, don't worry about that. We can help you with that. So you might bring it back with you next Sunday. And what you do with the results is really up to you. Perhaps it will stimulate some discussion among us about whether we are recognizing some of the spiritual gifts that members have that aren't so involved. We can come to appreciate the diversity of our gifts, of those among us. We can encourage one another to use our gifts. The point is that each and every one of us has been given at least one gift that God has given us to reveal the glory of Christ through the body of the church. The good news of the kingdom is that we're all gifted, just like the folks in Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all God's children are gifted and above average. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.